The second thing I'd like to talk about is to look again at the range of ideas and patterns that we can see in nature that ecology teaches us. Interconnectedness is one of these, but there are others. So I'm referring to phenomena such as complexity and emergence, which I think are subtly and stealthily finding their way into our thinking. Ecological terms in general, in fact, are kind of finding their way into our everyday language. You know, we talk about finding one's niche. We talk about kind of letting things happen organically. I think even the word community can have overtones that are drawn from ecology. So these phrases, in a way, imply a whole world view, which I think is worth exploring a bit more explicitly. And I'd like to consider in particular the idea, the pattern, the phenomenon of emergence. Yeah, I'd like to talk about ants for a minute or two. When I was at Guyaloka 5 years ago, one of my favourite pastimes was putting little piles of stuff out for the ants. Now, when I was at Guyaloka, no doubt others have experienced this, but my feet got very sort of tough and dry. I had a lot of dead skin. And I used to cut it off with a Swiss Army knife and make a little sort of pile. And also, you know, when I cut my nails, my toenails or my fingernails. And what I used to do was sort of collect all this stuff, all the dead skin and bits of toenails. And I'd put them in a little pile on a rock outside our hut. And then just watch to see what happened. I can recommend this as a pastime. It was very, very sort of absorbing and satisfying. Kind of seeing yourself recycled in this way. What would happen was that eventually an ant would happen upon this pile of detritus. And it would kind of look very pleased with itself, as far as you can tell. And would put a bit on its back and would wander off. Sometimes you had to wait quite a long time for the first ant to appear. But once the first ant had sort of come and taken a bit of skin away, then it wasn't very long before a load of other ants sort of descended on that rock from all different directions. And that's really quite mystifying. You know, in the absence of ant mobile phones, how did those other ants know, you know? And I was quite mystified by that at the time. I thought perhaps, you know, they went back and did a little dance or something like bees do, but that's not actually the case. So the point about ants is that they're really quite stupid. Apparently stupider than us, evidently, as we're repeatedly being told. An ant on its own, well, an ant basically only knows a few very simple behavioural rules. You know, if this is the case, do that. If that is the case, do this. It really boils down to a few very, very simple things. And on its own, an ant would find it very difficult to forage for food. It would be a kind of hit and miss affair. They'd just sort of wander around until they bumped into something. You know, the ant might starve if it was on its own. However, put that ant with other ants, and they have a whole sort of complex system, a very efficient system of foraging for food or toenails. Those simple rules, I don't quite understand them, but they've got something to do with the particular scent that another ant leaves and the number of other ants that it sees around. And somehow it uses this information to know where food is. So if you get a few dozen ants, then they can begin to form a much bigger, complex, intelligent system, and they can forage for food. In fact, not only can they forage for food, but they can build quite complex ant colonies. Ant colonies apparently have quite carefully located elements. You'll find an ant cemetery in one corner, a sort of ant waste disposal site in another corner. Kind of ant dormitory suburbs, ant motorways, ant supermarkets. And they're all appropriately located in relation to each other. Now, to a recovering town planner like me, that's quite a challenge, because they do this without a planning department. There is no ant planning department. There's no kind of ant strategic local plan or whatever. There's no kind of ant mastermind sitting in the middle of it all, planning it all. Each ant remains really quite stupid. But ant colonies are these incredibly complex, efficient systems. And this is what emergence is, as far as I can understand it. It's complex, viable, effective systems that emerge from the interaction of lots of individual, very simple decisions. And you'll find this phenomenon of emergence. It's very common throughout the natural world. It's not only in the natural world. You can simulate it on computers. I believe actually The Sims, if you know The Sims computer game, is actually an example of emergent software where they've used emergence. Don't ask me how, but they've used it to make a game. But in the natural world, emergence is very well developed. So rainforests, tropical rainforests, ecosystems, are the result of emergence. No one plans those. They have arisen as a result of a vast number of small interactions. Coral reefs, flocks of wild geese, are all emergent phenomena. Consciousness itself is the same as this. So I believe. Consciousness itself is a phenomenon of emergence. Don't ask me how, but I once read something explaining why that was. Well, emergence is just quite an astonishing phenomenon. For me, the emergence of these complex, beautiful, kind of fractal forms that we have in nature is perhaps the thing, is certainly one of the things that fills me with silent wonder and glad affirmation at nature. I think nature is teaching us something about the depth and beauty of reality, of conditioned co-production, of ourselves. Our own emergence from the primordial simplicity of the universe. How something as complex as a human mind could emerge from simplicity.